This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The biblical story of Ezekiel the prophet.
Our story begins almost six centuries before the birth of our Lord. The mighty legions of Babylon had invaded Judea and, conquering all in its path, swept on to lay siege to Jerusalem, last stronghold of Judea. As the Babylonian enemy lay encamped outside the gates of Jerusalem, Joachim, the king of the Israelites, rose up in council.
It's enough. Aye, more than enough. Enough of death and destruction. We fought and lost. Let us now humbly submit to the yoke of bondage.
Wait.
My words meet with your disapproval, that I know. Yet must I remind you. I am your king, and the words I have spoken...
And unworthy of a king. You admit defeat.
I admit defeat. Call me, therefore, if you will, an unworthy king. But know you, that I love my people beyond all else. To fight is to die. To surrender is to live. It is my command that you accept defeat and live. It's a kindness bitter to the taste, and all I have left to give.
And so was Jerusalem surrendered into the hands of the invaders. And it came to pass that Joachim was taken prisoner and sent as an exile to the Tower of Tel Aviv, near the river Kobar. Then to the vanquished children of Israel, who had not already fled the city, there came a fearsome proclamation.
Hear ye this decree of His Majesty, King of Babylon. All the families of Judea shall assemble before the appointed scribe, and from the rank of each certain members shall be selected to spend the remainder of their lives in exile.
Your name?
Ezekiel, son of Buzi.
Ezekiel, eh? Son of Buzi. What strange names these Israelites have. Tell me, Israelite, what means the name Ezekiel?
Strengthen the Lord.
So, strengthen the Lord. And do you possess that which your name signifies?
I do.
Strength enough to worship Him in a distant land?
Yes.
Then go. Worship Him in Tel Aviv, in exile. You'll leave with the caravan tonight. Next. Your name?
Buzi. The priest of the temple.
Oh, a priest, eh? Well, we shall have need of priests. A great need. You will remain here in Jerusalem.
But, Your Excellency...
Yes?
My son, Ezekiel...
What of him?
He goes to Tel Aviv by your own decree. May I not go with him?
Heard you not my ruling?
That I did. But I beg you reconsider. He's all I have, and I'm old. The years are heavy upon me.
Then, old man, rejoice, for I spare you the pain of a long and weary journey. You will remain here in Jerusalem.
And my son, Ezekiel...
goes on to Tel Abed. Next, your name.
And so were the sheep scattered. Families ruthlessly torn asunder by the merciless command of cruel men. And Ezekiel forced to leave Jerusalem and denied the companionship of his aged father, clung to his faith, and found his strength in God. Then in time he took unto himself a wife, and in that blessed union found happiness and joy. And it came to pass that one day as he sat in the doorway of his home, his wife spoke to him.
Why are you so sad, Ezekiel?
What makes you think so, my dear?
I know your mood. This evening your mind is far away and you are unhappy. What troubles you, Ezekiel?
It is the sadness that is always with us. We are children of Israel. Many thousands of us are captives here in Babylon, and others are scattered throughout Egypt and Assyria. The poor remnant of our people left at home have no strength either in numbers or leadership to form a strong nation.
Why should you worry about an entire nation when life for us here in Babylon is very pleasant? Why not forget the past?
No, my wife. Only as we remember the past shall we remain faithful to our mission as the Lord's chosen people. Day after day I remind myself that I am a consecrated priest of the one true God. I am a priest forever. Even though I am exiled from the altar at which I may offer sacrifice, I must keep the memory of that altar alive in my own heart, that I may instill love for it in the hearts of others.
You are far wiser in such things than I. But for the moment, forget your sadness. Let me see you smile. Ah, that is better. Now I shall leave you while I go to prepare supper. I'll call you when it is ready.
Yes, she is truly dear. Yet even she cannot know the desolation of my spirit. How I sit here day after day looking across the waters of the river Kobah. And always it is the Jordan back home that I see. And beyond the Jordan among the mountains, Jerusalem, as I saw it last, the day the armies of Babylon took us away. The temple rose majestic above all the buildings. And it seemed to me, wherever my body might be taken, my heart would always remain there in the temple, before the Lord's altar. A whirlwind, and a great cloud, a cloud of fire. In the midst of the fire, four living creatures, each with four faces and four wings, supporting the throne of the Most High. Now they are still. With folded wings. All is silent. This is a moment out of all my time when I wait for some great thing to happen to me. I am not on earth nor in heaven, but in some place of waiting between the two. O Lord of hosts, I am frightened. I fall upon my face.
Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak to thee.
I obey. I stand upon my feet.
I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious people that hath revolted from me. They and their fathers have transgressed my covenant even unto this day. And thou shalt say to them, thus saith the Lord.
And later, as Ezekiel told his wife of the vision.
Can it be in such a manner that prophets are called?
Perhaps you were only a little faint because you had not eaten.
No. The illusions born of faintness have the unreal quality of dreams. I am certain this was not an illusion. I stood in Jerusalem. I saw it as it was when we left it. I saw the temple, the palace of the king, and the shops of the dealers. I even saw the house where we used to live.
Oh, how wonderful it would be to live there again.
I moved about the familiar streets and heard people talking. I know that I was seeing the city exactly as it was and witnessing events that were happening at that moment. But when I tried to speak to someone I knew, I realized that he could not hear or see me.
Oh, how I wish I could have been with you.
What I saw then will grieve you. The city gate was barred, and the great Babylonian army was laying siege to the city. As I looked, the walls fell before them.
Oh, no, no.
I could hear on all sides angelic choirs praising the Lord and proclaiming the rightness and justice of all his ways. For another, I had seen as God must see all the evil of the city. My mind seemed no longer bound by the limits of my own experience. It seemed to have become like the minds of those higher beings who sang the Lord's praises as they watched what I was seeing, unmoved. I knew that the city must be humbled and destroyed, that a faithful city might rise on its ruins, and that someday exiles from all the countries would return to our homeland to take the place of those unworthy ones who had died.
But Ezekiel, if many people died, were they all bad people? The little children, the mothers.
The Lord's wisdom, that is so much greater than ours, allowed this destruction. Those who died passed not only to his eternal justice, but to his infinite mercy as well. Perhaps they would not have had it otherwise. Remember this too.
Yes, beloved. But tell me what you saw in Jerusalem.
I saw many of our people who had turned away from the Most High. They worshipped strange images and ceremonies of wild abandon. And near the temple, a boy approaches a priest.
Oh, tell me, priest of Israel, what does the Lord Most High require of me?
What did you say?
I beg you, tell me how I can know and serve the Lord.
Who are you?
I am Jonathan, the son of Eman. I haven't much money. I can't make him expensive sacrifices. But what I know of him makes me feel that I love him and would serve him. What can I do?
Pay your tithes to the temple.
That we have always done. And from my childhood I have kept the law. But how can I draw near to him in spirit? How can I...
Go your way. You've had all the time I can give you. I must return to my studies. Go.
So this was my vision of Jerusalem, my dear, today. When judgment has come upon her, because her people have forsaken God.
Was there no more?
Why should you think there was more?
You're keeping something from me. You've not told me quite all the Lord revealed to you.
There was one more thing, but it concerned myself alone.
All that concerns you concerns me. Tell me.
The Lord warned me that my dearest possession should be taken from me, but he comforted me for its loss and told me I must not mourn in public and weep for it in the manner of our people.
Your dearest possession? What could that be?
Think no more of it, beloved. I should not have told you. Now I must go and summon the elders among us and give them the Lord's message.
Ezekiel spoke to the elders, and then with footsteps lagging, his heart bleeding, he returned to his humble home. Grief-stricken and yet forbidden the comfort of her tears, he tenderly greeted his wife.
My own. Treasure of my life.
My husband.
Oh, 'tis good to be home again, to have you once more by my side.
Here shall I always be, my dear, forever and ever, even unto death.
Aye. Even unto death. No, no.
Ezekiel.
It's nothing. The weariness of my body overcomes me. I speak words, know not what I say.
You're ill, Ezekiel. Your face is pale. Your eyes are strangely sad.
It is nothing. Nothing. Come, sit you here. Let us talk of days gone by. Of our happy life together.
Ezekiel, has something happened? You talk so strangely. Why?
Oh, my dear. My sweetest treasure. 'Tis nothing. Nothing.
Something has happened. Something's gone wrong. Tell me. Tell me quickly. What is it?
It is but the reflection of my weariness, you see. Naught else. But come, tell me of your day. You went to the village as you planned?
No, I remained instead working all day in the garden. Already the buds are beginning to appear. And soon with the coming of the sun's warm rays, soon shall we see blossoms.
Yes, my dear. Soon. Soon shall we see blossoms.
How strange. Suddenly my eyes have become heavy. I am weary. So very weary. Perhaps the anxiety of waiting for you. The warmth of the fire. I must sleep.
No. No.
Forgive me, my dear. I shall close my eyes for a moment. Barely a moment.
Barely a moment. Sleep, my dearest one. May God grant you peace. Oh, my God. My God. Thy will is done.
And some months later, there came a day when Ezekiel again rose in the congregation of the captives.
My beloved people, I have news from Jerusalem. I shall let this stranger tell it. He arrived at my house last night, weary and almost starving. He is Jonathan, the son of Emah.
Oh, yes, I remember him. What is the news, Jonathan?
Jerusalem is in ruins. It has been completely destroyed.
Eh?
The temple, too. Nothing is left. Nothing. All the territory the Lord gave our father Abraham has fallen to the foe.
Lord, why hast thou dealt so with thy people? God, why hast thou forsaken us?
Did I not warn you all this would happen to Jerusalem unless the people repented of their evil ways? Did I not tell you it had happened on the day after it occurred?
He did. I remember it well.
Yes, you're right. Ezekiel warned us of all this, though at the time I did not believe him. Ezekiel is a true prophet.
Then listen to my words. The Lord does not act without justice and great mercy. We have not given to him a love and obedience that is his due. Turn from your evil ways. We exiles are the hope of Israel now. Let us make ourselves worthy of our mission, that Israel may live anew.
And so Ezekiel continued to give the Lord's message to the captives. And the word of his prophecy spread, and crowds came to hear him speak. Then came a day when he sat alone in his home. Thoughts of his wife filled his mind.
This house that once echoed to the sound of her singing, empty now and silent. If she were here today, she would know my sadness and ask the cause. I would not know how to tell her of my secret grief. How can one share with another his burden of secret grief? Even those of the priestly tribe of Levi listen to my words as they might listen to a popular song and forget them as quickly. The Lord's priesthood. The shepherds to whom he has entrusted the welfare of his flock. Jonathan's story of his visit to the temple and his talk with one of the temple priests. How dared any priest so scorn a young soul's hunger for God? O Lord Most High, grant that those who serve you may be worthy of their calling.
Son of man, prophesy concerning the shepherds of Israel. Woe to those shepherds. The weak they have not strengthened. That which was sick they have not healed. Neither have they sought that which was lost. My sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became the prey of all the beasts of the field.
Yes, great Lord, but be merciful to thy sheep, and send them true shepherds.
Therefore you shall say to the shepherds of Israel, thus saith the Lord, behold, I myself shall seek my sheep, and shall visit them. I will seek that which was lost, and I will strengthen that which was weak. I will save my flock, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them.
A good shepherd who would defend the sheep even at the cost of his own life. A true shepherd. The perfect priest and leader. Oh, the Lord be praised. For when he comes, truly he will restore the glory of the people of Israel. Blessed be thou, O Lord Most High, who hast comforted my heart with this great promise.
In the 25th year of the captivity, Ezekiel uttered what was to be his final prophecy to the congregation of the exiles. He described to them in detail the new temple that would arise on the ruins of the old temple that had been destroyed. A holy place, sanctified by the abiding presence of the Lord of hosts. He finished speaking and returned home.
"'Tis just here," she said, when I told her of that first vision of the destruction of Jerusalem. How filled her eyes were with wonder and with pity. I wish I could tell her now of the new temple, and of the great shepherd who will bring healing and hope to his people. She had such faith in the Lord's promises.
What are you mumbling about, Sir Prophet?
How did you get in here?
Never mind how I got here. Here I am.
What do you want?
You promised that you'll stop leading the people astray. Our people could rise to power and wealth if they accepted the gods and the customs of Babylon.
I remember your face now. I've seen you among our people.
Yes, I too was an Israelite. But I'm too sensible to sacrifice all the good things in life for a vanished dream. Jerusalem has fallen. The temple is gone. Where is the God of Israel now? Call down the wrath of your God to consume me, if you will.
I might better beg him to pity you, my misguided friend. Pity for a soul that has lost its loyalties. For a heart in which there is no secret shrine.
Has no vision shown you your own fate unless you stop preaching to the people?
I shall listen to the voice of the Lord God. When he commands me to prophesy, I shall obey him.
Is this the only answer you'll give me?
This is the only answer I can give you. O son of Israel, turn you from your folly and evil before it is too late. All the wealth of Babylon is too small a reward for the loss of your God.
I didn't come here to listen to more of your preaching. I came to offer you a choice. Either you promise to stop preaching or your lips shall be sealed forever.
Priests and prophets have often paid with their lives for their loyalty to God. But beware of his punishment.
See, I've drawn my sword, and your Lord God did not strike me as I lift it. Look upon it, Ezekiel. Unless you promise. Why do you smile?
Because you think I fear death.
You do not fear it?
All that is dear to me is in a world whose gates that sword will open to me. O Lord of hosts, guard your sheep until the day when the great shepherd shall come. O Lord of all, be mindful of your people. O God, whose immeasurable mercy I have sensed in my visions,
Have pity on this unworthy son of Israel.
Enough!
My prayer is finished.
O Lord of hosts, guard your sheep until the day when the great shepherd shall come. And so with this prayer on his lips, the prophet Ezekiel died for his loyalty to God.